Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about how can we get over the hurdles from our life, the trauma, the events, the sinkholes, and sometimes those black holes that just seem like they want to take us out. What is the story of our adventures in this human form, in this lifetime we are calling our life? What is it all about? Where have we been? What have we gone through? What have we attached to? Or perhaps, what are we still reproducing, holding on to, and recreating with old tools, old memories, old hurts and pains and suffering, old imprints, and bringing it into the present moment? How can we say, oh, I just want to shed. I feel like I just need to let go of my turtle shell. I need to let go of my snake skin. I need to be able to breathe. I really need to feel freer. What is that all about? It's a time when your soul is saying, hey, dude, you know, we got a little bit too much here. We're collecting too much baggage, a little bit too many things in the corner. There's a lot of times we have to say the story has to release so we can see how we can dance in the ethers, as we've shared so many times over the decade. It's about being a little bit freer. How do you do that? How do you recognize where you are? And how do you see that there is so much more potential out there and let go of the big word, fear, pain, struggle, suffering, or this is who I am? Today we're going to say, it is not who you are, it is what you have traversed through. How freeing can that be? Today my guest is Karen Schultz. Her book is Little Karen and the Egyptian Priestess, How My Higher Self Healed My Childhood. Karen, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. It's a joy to have you with me and to share.
I'm so glad to have you with us, Karen, because I think the idea when you talk in your book about, your stories of life, many of us over the age of 50 are now opening up those boxes of secrets. We're opening up those boxes of stories, and we're saying, what the heck do I do with it? You know? And I think that so many of us in this decade at this time are now saying, I don't choose to take it to my deathbed. I don't choose to take it to my next life. I want to clear it. Whereas in the past, our ancestors would have just taken it with them, right?
Exactly. One of the things that I do to try to help people is to see that it serves no purpose in the present except to make you feel worse. And there's always a choice to go forward and call back your spirit from where you left it and not to focus on the past and what was bad about it, but how to let it go so this way we can create a spiritual, happier, positive life. And I work with clients so much trying to change their thinking into that they think they have to go to the grave with it. They think that this is what they deserve, but they don't. So I try to help them that you can be worthy of change, and that I see a lot of people afraid of it because it's new and the unknown. But Deepak Chopra said, I'd rather run into the unknown than, you know, run to the known, because you know that. Letting go of what once was. And having the courage to just go forward, and regardless of what's going to happen, that's the journey, that's the adventure.
You know, I think that the difference is that in the 1900s, you know, when you and I grew up, and even now in the early 2000s, people were really not sharing their life stories. However, if you look at it, even on social media now, you know, kids that are in their teens, 20s, 30s, they're ready to tell you everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. There was something the other day on the news in my local area. And a girl was saying that she had been homeless at the age of 15. So when she finished high school, she finished early at 16. And she said, I think I'm going to go to college because they have housing there. And we think, wow, isn't that so exciting that she was able to tap into that knowing and not have to go through some of the stuff all of us have done in the past. Isn't that exciting when people can speak up and say, I need help, this is where I am, yet we never did?
Yes, because you know what? I wrote a book in 1993, and nobody would let me talk about it, and I just figured I wasn't time yet. I was 20 years of, too futuristic, and nobody wanted to discuss it. So now that it's in the media, it's everywhere, that we have a choice. And that's what my passion is, that I'm not going to sit in the past, that I've got to go through, and I have to be a role model for them, and I have to be further along than them. So that's what keeps me hopping. But, yes, before 20 years ago or whenever, nobody was talking about this stuff,
it
was really verboten. And now I'm feeling that's why I wrote this book now, because I figured, well, now it will be better received because people are open to these things. And the young people seem to have their baggage, and they don't have any baggage. They just keep going forward. And I think their action plan is more proactive than what we've done. And so I really like the way that, even my daughter, who's 21, and she's in London trying to do a theater internship, and she doesn't seem to think, everything's going to go positive. She just keeps going. And I really appreciate that. And that's what we want to learn, how to use the actions rather than stay stuck in the mud.
Mm-hmm. I think it truly is about being able to have the tools to navigate the life that you have. We were not given tools then. But if you look at it, our parents and grandparents were coming off of war. All they knew was that the world was a very harsh place, or the Depression. And then when they started getting money or a job or a house, they said, oh, I can feel better. So in essence, we have to look back that we are living longer lives. We are speaking up more. We are much more active in our later years. So really, we're seeing such a great awakening, even within the last, 50, 60 years, that other generations really didn't have. So in essence, if you look at it also too, we also are waiting till a lot of the perpetrators have died. So we can speak out and not be afraid of losing our jobs. Or we can also turn around and say, I can say these things because now I really just don't give a flying hoot. I think a lot of people are saying, I can't carry it anymore, but here I go. I'm going to just let it out, right?
Yes, and I think that's important. And with my own family, where they're, my father passed away, I waited till everybody passed. And I did the forgiveness work before, and I just was able to say this no longer defines me. And I took care of his house and got everything dealt with, and me, myself, and I, and my guides. And I really feel better about that. And I try to teach people that, going through the forgiveness and being able to forget and forgive, not forget, but forgive, it gives you an energy to be able to go forward. And I think that, that's what I'm trying to help people do, and not to give them up on a good future. And I've seen kids now that are 20 years old and they want to become influencers, and they're in L.A. every month trying to do it without, maybe they've had an eating disorder or something else putting them in giving them trouble, and they've been able to move past it and just keep going. And I've seen the same with sexual assault as well. These are, I have teenagers, they're doing their very best to just try to step over it and move forward. And I'm very proud of them, and I'm proud of anybody, because only the healthy people get to the therapy. The healthy people want help. The people who acknowledge that it's draining and draining on them, those people come, and I give them a lot of courage. I give them, say, you're in the right place, and thank God you're here, because it's the healthy people who come, because they want a better life, and they want to be happy.
But also, too, Karen, here, let's think about this story for a second. It truly is also, too, that ownership. In other words, that was an experience we went through. It is not who we are. We are not broken. We are not maimed. We are not this, that, or the other. Because we truly are in our soul and our spirit, whole and imperfect. And just, I mean, we're just good, right to the core. You know, it's just something we've gone through, and it's an outward expression of a time or place in our world. And I think we've gotten stuck with the idea that if we look back many decades ago, people would use words to really lash out. You're this, you're that, and they would use very bad words. You've shared many in the book for you, and also I've shared on this radio show about mine, and it's just, it was pretty devastating, a lot of the words, and we became to believe that was who we were and what we were made out of, and that, in other words, everybody else knew it because a family member or a relative had said it, and it was golden. When in essence, if we can come to the conclusion that that's their issues, they don't own me, and I'm not a part of ownership of them. So, I mean, if you look at the young kids these days, they're like, they don't worry about not having their mothers or fathers or brothers right. or sisters around. They've got their own life. They can see it as such, and they're very much a free spirit. Versus, you know, all of us saying, well, all of my relatives, do they come to my wake? You know, did all of my ancestors, you know, I mean, like all those old estranged family members coming out of the woodwork. That's kind of an antiquated vision of looking at the life, right?
Yes, it is. And that's where the higher self comes in. I have the higher self, which is the priestess in the book, and how she's connected mm-hmm. to the higher, she's connected to God and to the higher channels.
Yes.
And when many times when I was afraid, I would ask for her help. And she would always say to me, you know, just put your name out on the door. You're going to get clients. Just go. And you're going to do this before this person does it. Always very positive on leading me in a pioneering way because I didn't know mm-hmm. I didn't know the path. But higher self did know and did give me that ancient wisdom from Egypt to go forward and to live my life in the present. And that's where I really felt the connection is, this is ancestral, and I really was happy to have it. And I was happy to know that I was going forward with my higher self, and my higher self was going to be with me for the rest of my life, and I was going to continue to learn and be on the journey. So just accepting the spiritual reality and then seeing the younger people just not even deal with the crushing blows of the past. They're able
yes.
to just travel light. And that's what
yeah.
I try to travel with my higher self and for people and to model for people that, you know, why are you happy when all this bad things happen to you? Well, because I put that aside and I created my spiritual life. And that's why it's so important to have a spiritual life, because then you can do those things. And a lot of teenagers and young adults I work with, they are very spiritual. They wouldn't call it that, but they're able
right.
to just, you know, take care of themselves. But I think we have that inside, that ability that, you know, that I call her the inner cheerleader or my intuition mm-hmm. or the part of me that knows that I don't, you know, knows things that I'm going to get to know.
Don't you think that in essence, Karen, truly what you did was when you connected with the priestess, you went back and you were retrieving part of your soul and existing in an out-of-body experience from that position. So in other words, when you talk about the priestess as a separate entity, it really is your other piece of you
yeah, other piece
that
of
is
That's
already
what
completed within the soul journey.
Right. And that's what I try to teach people, that they have their soul too, and they have their
mm-hmm.
their pieces that they can use with that strength. So it's a strength thing. And I am really happy that when things were going bad, that I was able to call on the priestess, and I
yeah.
knew it was light years ahead of me, but I knew it was a part of me, and I wanted to make it stronger. And I think everybody can too. And this priestess does have all the joy and the love and all the amazing things
right.
that come from believing in the spirit
and
the
soul. And I think also, too, when we can step outside of ourselves and we have this sense of a guide with us, another spirit with us, another part of an energy source, we really can feel that we're okay regardless of what's going on in our life. And it's not a human that you can push the button, tap into, have the, you know, have them bring you food, have them be safe around you. It's something that's, it's very much in your thoughts and in your heart. And you, once you can work from your inner self, a lot of that outside needs or a lot of that outside construct that you command just doesn't seem as important anymore, do you think?
I agree, and I think it's from the heart. And I've learned that by opening my heart and by opening the ability to channel other things or to be open, that it's really given me a larger viewpoint. So it's infinity. There, I was in Maui, and I was looking at the ocean, and I heard, here's your future. You know, this, it was an infinity. I mean, so I just look at it as, you're right, there really aren't very many limits to the wisdom and the goal, and my soul has a job to do. And I think I did my work over this soul, this life, and but I know that I'm going to continue to find more love and more peace as it goes on, and that's what I try to write for people, to give them courage and, you know, to get, let them know it's okay. And when I heal people, you know, I have to have their permission. I have to have their willingness. I have to co-create with them, and that's a real gift.
I think also, too, when you talk about in your book, when you said, I will show you the Egyptian life, and you became very wise and sacred, it's almost as if, I don't know if you've noticed this lately, but I have, when someone would say something to me, and I'm going, but it's already done. You know, and it's already done. And it's almost as if, are we just waiting out our time in this human story for right now? Because now we've connected backwards and completed our cycle of knowing of who we truly are. And we're saying, then what am I doing here? You know, I think a lot of times people will say, what is the next step, right?
Yes. Well, for me, the next step is just continuing on the journey and continuing to teach people what they need to go forward and to be a spiritual light. And I'm here to be a light. And I also study Kabbalah, and I have rabbi guides, and they talk to me about taking the menorah light and going out and giving it to people. And so I just think I'm here to be a light. And that's what I tell a lot of people, just be a light. Because right now the world is in disrepair, and I think we need to help heal it, and so that the light helps heal. So I'm just say, if I give you my light, then you, the next person gets the light from them, and it keeps going on. So I think I'm a light worker at this point, and I'm supposed to be able to, you know, connect with people, connect the heaven and the earth, and that's really my goal, is to connect heaven and earth to let people know. Especially I do grief counseling. So a lot of it is, you know, the other world is not far away. You might not be able to see a loved one, but your loved one's there. And so I just try to act as if, you know, that we're on an intellectual journey, and also trying to save the planet, trying to save people from themselves. And I enjoy doing that, and it gives me a purpose, and it gives me a meaning, you know, that being a light is a very important thing to do, because not many people have that second sight that, you know, we're talking about. They don't have it. And so what I try to do is help people in spiritual groups try to create that consciousness, try to create that spirit, so they can take it out into the world and use it, because it's, we light one person, we continue to light.
Because I think what you're really talking about, Karen, is about awareness. We are all coming into the spot of awareness that there is something else. And now let's talk about another tool. We're talking about releasing. You shared in your book, Little Karen and the Egyptian Priestess, you shared about water, being able to release things into the water. You know, I live in New Orleans. We have hurricanes here, and I can tell you it's sort of like when they come, I just want to open all my windows and doors and let it all go poof, you know, because I have that. I'm very much an air sign, and I very much like that feeling of clearing the palate, so to speak. So I think sometimes people will say, I really love water, or others will say, I'm afraid of it. And that's something that to be able to work with and explore the concepts. In other words, let's use the elements of life, water, fire, earth, and air, Yes?
Yes. I agree. And I have a clearing stick I use all the time with people. And, you know, I was in Sedona, Arizona. We have a timeshare there. I've been there. I had my honeymoon in Sedona. And it was interesting because I would be at, like, the feminine. They have, like, feminine lakes and masculine vortexes. They have, like, male and female. And I was really sad, and I heard, you know, put all your grief and sadness in the water. And so I just put it in there as a relief, and I saw it go by me, you know, like in a stream. And that's where I got the water theme from, because I was able to use it and use the vortex, which to me is earth and fire together. But the vortex is incredible in terms of the energy when I go there. I think a lot of people who do care work, you know, or who are light workers or people working with physical people get the best nourishment from there. So that's really where I saw the water. And we can use what's around us. A lot of people say 20 minutes in a forest is better than an hour of therapy. So I teach people to go out into the forest to pull up the energy from the earth, to use the earth energy. And so I try to use the natural things that are out there in nature as ways to heal.
Yeah. You know, I lived in Arizona, you know, for many years, and it was such a place of being able to experience something different. And I think that's very important. If you're in a place and you feel stuck, do a little journey. You don't have to go to Arizona. You can go outside of your space and time. Go to another city, go to another type of land, go to a different place, and see what you can feel into, or what you can seek out, or what you end up being guided to. Because that's truly when you're able to say, I'm open to something different. Once you say that, something will show up, don't you think?
Yes, and I tell people to ask for guidance, to ask for help, to be able to, and that's the hard one for a lot of people, to use the creative, natural world to find peace in it. You know, and that's where the crystals come in, and a lot of people carry those. I mean, I have one in my hand right now, and I just think all the lovely things that the earth has given us, we should really give back the love that the earth gives us, and I think we're supported by it, and I don't think we're being very kind to it, but I try to teach that you can be kind to yourself, too, and the earth, and for many years, you know, I did not like myself, so I just find it interesting to know that, you know, when I experience these natural wonders like Sedona or like the forest or like, you know, water, it gives me a sense that I belong here and that I like myself. And that's, I like myself when I'm there. I like myself when I'm not there. So my journey was, how do I love me and then take me to places that bring me love when I'm there? So I tell my clients the same thing.
What I think also, too, Karen, is that a lot of times people will say, well, I need to be healed. I'll get to a pinnacle point, and I'll be all good, and life will just be hunky-dory. When, in essence, this lifetime is really about an ebb and a flow. Things do go up and down. Things happen. We become in different energy spaces. The earth is also on its own ascension path. There's a lot of wind shifts. There's a lot of storms. So it's almost as if we are no longer leading a linear human path. We are really exposed into this web kind of experience, and that's our existence now. So I think if we can look at it that way, we are able to pick and choose how to traverse things. In other words, if we have something happen to us, we could say, well, I could go that way, but you know what? There's about 99 other ways. I think I might choose one of them now. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, can we see that there is a web out there? There are millions of potential possibilities. And when we create, it's not about the right way or the wrong way. It's about, I don't know. I just think I'll go down it anyway. And if you fall into a hole, you'll say, wow, I never knew this hole was here. This is kind of cool. This one's pink. This one's green. Or maybe I've seen this one before, but, ooh, I know how to get out of here. So I think the idea is, can we be freer with our experience and our conversation and our words to explore further? Yes?
Yeah. I think yes, and I think that that's a hearty yes, and I agree. Mm-hmm. There's no beginning and end. It is an ebb and a flow, and we just mm-hmm. have to go with the current, and if we get into a hole, you know, we'll have to get ourselves out. If or we like the hole, we'll stay there for a while.
That's right.
I think
that's right.
I think that there's options for a lot of things and more potential than I've ever seen, and then the people I see, and is an amazing amount of potential and love for, and you know, their stories aren't linear either, and I learned that that's about being human. And
yes.
being human
yes.
is a gift, but it's also a struggle. So we have to go with both.
You know, I think sometimes people will say, but I didn't learn my lesson that way. Or you see people, I think the media really took it the wrong way, and counselors and other people in mental health. Several decades ago, they used to say that, well, if you got a divorce and you got married and you got a divorce again, there must be something wrong with you because you didn't, quote, get it right. When in essence, I mean, I've had two of them. I turned around and says, absolutely not. I learned something from both of them. Wasn't it a great experience? My story was done. I moved on to the next story. Mm-hmm. And can we be free enough to see that?
That's what I'm trying to do for myself and teach people mm-hmm. at the same time, is to just say, you know, don't focus on a mistake, because mistakes are necessary to learn and be able to just do the best you can. And I like when I'm evolving, because it takes me to different places I'm not aware of. And I think it's letting go of the fear of not knowing. But if something happens and you end up in a certain place, you thought it might be negative, but it's not. It's just part of the tools that you're learning to deal with life's cycles and life's realities. And if the first marriage taught you something, the second marriage is going to teach you something else. And there should be no victim-like issue. It should be we did this willingly, and now we're on to the next. And there should be no pondering over what went wrong, or you know, because you were there as long as you needed to be there, and then you were somewhere else.
I think the media and the old dogma, the old medical books, and the old stories, and the old people, we kind of put our trust and beliefs, and we said they must know better than me because I'm just going to follow what they quote tell me to do, and also religions. When in essence now we're saying, you know what? No, I don't really think that that's true. It doesn't fit for me. And you take and pick and choose what does fit for you and continue to move on. I think that's truly the greatest gift we can give ourselves in the year 2022. I mean, you look at the grocery store, you know, you walk through, and I've said to myself so many times, I just cook for myself, and I'm like, why can't I only buy 2 carrots? You know, I don't need a bag of carrots. Why can't I only buy 1 potato? I only need 1, you know. And it's always the idea, what do we need? Or do we have to feel as if we are tunneled down this vortex because we have to follow along to be perfect or seen or accepted?
I think that there's a 12-step meeting group that I belong to, and we teach that, you know, what's inside that you want and what's inside that you don't want. And, mm-hmm. you know, you take what you want and you leave the rest. And mm-hmm. I think it takes a really strong person, a spiritual person, to allow themselves to just be and to just see what they need to see and hear what they need to hear. And that flow of, you know, I think it's hard to find the flow, but I like it when I'm in the flow. And I try to make sure mm-hmm. that other people can be in their flow. But, yeah, I wish that things were easier, and especially I work with a lot of, you know, people who've been divorced, and they're working, you know, they might not have kids, and I just think they're looking for acceptance and love and guidance like anybody else. And I think that we're all strong, very strong, resilient people, and we have to remember that we've been through heck and high water, and we're going to be okay. And I think, you know, that flow is not something that we're used to, because we're used to doing it piecemeal.
Yeah. And I think also, too, the idea is that there are no mistakes. There is nothing wrong. It's just a process, you know. Sometimes people will say, but they told me ahead of time and I shouldn't have done it. It's sort of like, you know, they told you their point of view. That doesn't have to attach to you. You can choose it. But it's not the you. So you're the one that's really living your life, or you're the one that's being able to experience it. And I think sometimes when you do separate that, you're able to come up with a different story at the end of it when you look back at your life in retrospect, don't you think?
Yes, I do. I think why I have this book and where I'm at now are in two different places, and it makes much more sense to me now. And at the time, I was doing something else. And it's always good to feel connected to yourself and just go forward with your life. And that's really the key, is to go forward and not to worry about what you did in the past, and don't let your past erase your present and your future, because the power is always in the present, and the future hasn't happened yet. And I just think that we have to believe that we're at the right place, and we're doing what we need to do to stay where we want to, and not to get stuck in the rigid rules. And again, you know, being in a family of abuse, and there were many rigid things other people wanted control, and I had to realize that having control isn't really the problem. It's how to let go and be yourself and not let that past stop you. And I just think the past stops a lot of people. And my goal is to not do it, to try to teach people, feel the fear and do it anyway, and then try something new and get out of the rigid patterns of the past, because they no longer matter and they no longer serve us well.
You know, I think the best kind of therapy ever to be able to say I'm looking for a different way to be is to clean out your kitchen drawers. You know what? You know all those tools that you have in there? You know, those things that, like the old-time can openers, or the old potato peelers, or maybe some twist ties that have been twisted way too many times, or those old batteries that you said, well, maybe one day, you know, or how about all the loose screws that were around the house and you threw them in a drawer? You know, what I've done is I've gone around my house and I've just said, did I use it last week? And the answer is no, went in the garbage. I just started throwing all of that away. And what I found is that I would start finding new tools. I really don't need that. I don't buy cans anymore. I'll buy a small, simple can opener, but I don't need all four or five of them half broken or this, that, or the other. You know. So I think the idea is, can we start to let go of some of the old tools of the way we used to do things, and say, I truly don't need it because I really don't want to have that in my experience again, so then I don't need the tool to be able to always fix it, you know? You know those, in your medicine cabinet, we've got all those fix-it medications. Well, maybe I'll have a headache, so I'll keep that. Maybe I'll have, an itchy skin, I'll keep that kind of idea. And the answer is, honey, that expired, that story's over. So did that tube expire, throw it out. You know, are we able to look at it like that?
Well, I know how hoarding is, and I know that people have so much stuff in their houses, me included, and I think that a lot of people have a hard time cleaning out because it brings up emotions and it brings up other things, you know, and what if you don't have that? In reality, we don't need the stuff, but I think that, you know, the world is, and there's a lot of people who's, you know, I know one lady who does it for a living, you know, goes and organizes people's basements and, you know, clear out. And I think that there's nothing wrong with a spring clean and to take a look at what you don't need and get rid of them, because we don't need stuff. And I don't think it helps anybody. The more, is, you know, it's not more is better. It's when do I feel clear? And I think that we all as a society need to clear our stuff that's, we're knee deep in it, and we need to get rid of it because it doesn't do any purpose.
I work a lot with patients at end of life, and my husband, he was selling life insurance, and he went one day to collect the payment, and he went back the next day, and all of the person's stuff was on the street, and he said, "What happened?" And they said, "Oh, she died last night," so they cleared her stuff out in the street, and it all went out to the garbage. So instantly, that just popped into my head. What can you take with you? Why are you holding on to everything? And you certainly, when you leave, they have no interest in what you've left behind. You know, I think we get on this, stuck in this idea of legacy, my story. They have to remember me. When you're a free soul and you've passed over, that's not true anymore. They might recognize you as a soul wave energy, but your human story does not come along with it. So the answer is, can we free up our human story?
I was just talking to a man who's retirement age yesterday and about downsizing, and the guy was, you know, talking to me about the legacy and what he wants to keep and what he wants to give his son and where he wants to go. And I think people need to have more of those kind of talks, because the past offers us nothing. And when we go back, you know, it's like my son, I adopted him from Guatemala, and I sent pictures, you know, like a phone, a camera, and they didn't give us anything. So when he came at 13 months, he just had his coat on, and none of his story was there, and I couldn't explain those people who were there with him, you know, like who they were. I didn't know that they were excellent people, and I realized he did better not having it, because he could start afresh, and it could be a whole new life. And maybe he didn't need to know those people. He just needed to know the people here. So, but I see clients all the time struggle with that, and many people have lots of stuff that if they let go of, they'd feel better.
Yeah,
so, yes, you're right. When you die, you don't need anything. You're not going to take anything with you.
You know, I did it. It was a few years ago before one of the storms, when the hurricanes here in Louisiana. And I've gotten to the point where, okay, I boxed up everything out of my house that was the kids or that I wanted to give to them. And I said, I'm sending this all to you now. And they're like, why are you sending this stuff? Some of the kids threw all the junk away. They said, we don't want that. We don't need it. We don't care about any of that. 95% of what I sent them, they threw away. But I wanted it to be on them, that I gave it to them. It was out of my house. And I did my part, and then they made their choice. But the point was, is that I said, the day I die, you don't need to come to my house looking for something of yours or a memento or whatever, because there's nothing here. So I released them, that pattern, and the items prior to the end. Because the answer is when you're gone, you're kind of, do you want to really tie them up in a story that was yours?
No.
Or would you rather them just have it and be free with it now and let it go?
I think that was a genius move. And I think that, you know, when you have nothing to worry about when time comes. And, you know, I have a brother who died in a car accident in California when he was 40. And the day before, I guess a couple of months before he died, he knew he was going to die. He sent me all his kitchen tools, everything that, you know, he didn't need anymore. And he basically, the message to me was, okay, here's my stuff, you know, why don't you take it and live with it? And then it was nice of him to give me those as a reminder, too, that he wasn't taking anything with him, and told me what he wanted to do in terms of when he dies, we bury him with my mother. And he just, that's the only question he asked. I said, yes, you can. And when I felt like he released everything he possibly had. He wasn't married, didn't have children. But I just was so happy to get his things and use them as part of my life now, and to realize I have part of him with me. And he's up in heaven probably having a great time.
Yeah, but also, too, the idea is that we have to be careful that we don't tether to their energy and keep calling their souls in. Because when we keep calling their souls in, we get stuck in that grief pattern, right?
Right. Well, I freely released him, and I felt like, you know, I didn't have to attach to anything at that point.
Right.
But, you know, I used the equipment, but I was able to let it go and realize, you know, he was in a better place.
Yeah. Let's talk in closing, Karen, about forgiveness, because I almost say forgiveness to me is caterpillar to butterfly. It doesn't really resonate in my brain. I don't see the story that a lot of people have around the word, and I don't use the word. I have never used the word. I just see things as energy passing here or there. So forgiveness, how do you see it and how do you explain it to people? Because for me, you know, I would be given that very esoteric experiential kind of thing, is that we're just going to pass through it. It's just, you know, let it go. And when you let it go, you really truly are no longer a caterpillar. You don't go backwards and you truly are free as, you know, the beauty soul you are. So how do you share that?
Well, what I try to do for myself is I've used God as a tool to help me ask for mercy for the people who hurt me, like my dad, and ask God for mercy. And I was the only one who could offer that because he couldn't do that, you know, for himself. And I was able to release whatever happened. I told him everything is forgiven and you're okay. And he says, everything? And I said, yes, everything, whether you admit it or not. And I felt the peace of it because I made a choice to just let go. And then he passed over and is with the people he needs to be with. So forgiveness is not, you know, it's not forgetting. It's just being able to release the pain and release the loss of the possibility of having a decent childhood. And I realized whatever it was, it taught me a whole lot, gave me a lot of insight, gave me a lot of skills, and I was able to see the joy that I could have by forgiving, because it didn't help him, it helped me. And I try to teach people that they have to really, you know, it's not about forgetting, but forgiveness does release yourself from the pain. Otherwise, I would be tethered for life. And I was asking God for that mercy, and I saw how God was able to give mercy to my dad, and it was a very loving thing. And at the wake, I just felt like I was just his daughter, and there was no history, and I was just going and following the soul, and he's going home, and he's happy there. So to me, it was, it's a choice. It doesn't happen overnight. Some people don't want to forgive, and that's okay, but the forgiveness helps me, so I'm not tied to the past with all this stuff. And forgiveness is, I think, the hardest thing to do, but it's the most freeing thing that you could ever do to help yourself.
I think also, too, to forgive ourselves that we are on this life's journey and we didn't recognize it sooner. You know, many times people will say, why didn't I know that before? I wasted all this time, blah, blah, blah. And I'll say, no, that's not true. It wasn't able to unfold until the sun was as bright as it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, okay. You know, because many times people will say, all of this stuff's been out there and I didn't know it. I didn't figure it out. But look at all the other things I could have done differently. And the answer is no. When the sun shines bright enough, that's when the time will be. And that is truly important because you can forgive yourself for the time and space that you thought, but knowing that's only the human story again. It's not when your soul was ready, right?
Well, I think it goes to show that, you know, when I learn to let go and love myself, I can let go and love the people who hurt me and not pick it out on me, because a lot of times the self-abuse to hurt myself. So it's like I have to forgive myself for hurting myself, but that's what I knew. But I don't have to do that anymore. So I think if you're right, when it's time, you'll know. And that if it's not time, you won't do it. And that's okay, because it's not, it doesn't have to be. So there's no rules. But I think that you're right. We have to forgive ourselves for whatever we've done to ourselves. And I just wish that the people's pain and suffering will go away if they do that and just realize they were human and that they did the best they could.
Yeah. It's definitely a different world. Every year it seems to be something different. I can't even remember what happened last year. And I'm going, oh, my goodness, you know, is the world evolving on warp speed? Are we truly phasing through things and phasing out of things so quickly and becoming more expansive in our consciousness, awareness, and our knowing, and really picking up some really cool tools? Don't you think in the year 2022 that's where we're at?
Yes, I agree. I think it is. And an expansion, it's, and people shouldn't be afraid of the expansion. But, you know, I they should just accept expansion. And every religion or esoteric teachings, they're all about expansion. They're all about letting go and letting see what's happening. So I think that we need to do that.
Yeah, it's kind of cool in a way to be able to ride the wave. Well, Karen, it was such a pleasure to have you with us. Could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work?
Yes, you can go to spiritcoachkaren.com, and that's my website. And I'm in Chicagoland area, and I would love to talk to you about the book. And you can get the book from Balboa. You can get the book from Amazon and anywhere books are sold.
Very good. Well, Karen, it was a pleasure to have you with us. We thank you so much for dancing in the ethers with us today.
Well, thank you. It was a lovely dance, and I'm very glad and grateful that I got a chance to work with you.
So happy to have
you. Dr. Jeanette, you're a wonder. You're wonderful, and you're awesome.
Thank you so much. If you'd like to find out more information about Karen Schultz, again, her book is Little Karen and the Egyptian Priestess, How My Higher Self Healed My Childhood. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information. Go directly to her website and be able to say, how am I connected today? Where am I feeling something that is out of sorts? And where did its source come from? Was it something happened in my childhood? Perhaps something in my adult life? Or maybe it's just the hole that I'm stuck into. How can I navigate and change my life and become better connected? Find some different ways to be able to live this world and say, you know what, it's all A-okay. And just recreate yourself from the inside out. Isn't that an exciting journey? Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.